Hey, listen, we're making sense of our senses on these Wednesday nights together. And of course, I'm talking about these five God-given senses that he has given us. Taste, see, hear, touch, and smelling. But my question tonight is, could there be more? I mean, think about it. What about common sense? You know, I mean, should common sense be added to the list? I mean, we often say to somebody, hey, use your common sense. Or we say, they don't have any common sense. Or we say, you know, they're real educated. But man, they ain't got a lick of sense. So what is common sense? Well, it's been defined as someone that has good sense and sound judgment in practical matters. Somebody said it's a person with common sense can see through the clutter of daily life and make good decisions. So, hey, do you have common sense? And hey, is it something that you're born with? Or is it something that you develop over time? I found an interesting passage of scripture over in Proverbs chapter 8. The Christian Standard Bible translates it this way. Proverbs 8:5. Learn to be shrewd, you who are inexperienced. Develop common sense, you who are foolish. The King James says, be of an understanding heart. Well, I agree with Thomas Edison who said this. He said that common sense is just not so common. Amen? It's kind of like that guy was walking down the sidewalk one day downtown, and he noticed these city workers. Man, they were working hard. He was really impressed with their work ethic. But he was puzzled. He didn't quite understand what they were doing. So he walked up to them and he said, hey, guys, listen, I appreciate all your hard work. But hey, what in the world are you doing? I mean, I've been watching you. It seems that one of you digs a hole here, and then the other guy comes and fills the hole. And then you scoot over 10 feet and dig another hole. And then your buddy fills the hole. And then you go over there another 10 feet and dig a hole. And your buddy fills the hole. He said, what are you guys doing? He said, well, the third guy that plants the tree is off today sick. Common sense. Somebody said the difference between common sense and stupidity is that common sense has its limits. That may be true. It's like the guy I read about had a life-saving tool in his car. It was designed to cut through a seatbelt if he got trapped in the car. He kept it in the trunk. Hey, we're talking about common sense. Well, I'm not so sure about common sense, but I am sure about these five God-given senses that he's given us, and not only to help us function physically, but as we've been talking about, also help us have faith spiritually. And tonight we come to the sense, the fourth one, of touch. The gift or the sense of touch. Now, I find it interesting that you can turn off your sight by blindfold. Or you can turn off your hearing with an earplug. Or you can turn off your taste by not eating anything. But you cannot turn off touch. It never goes away. In fact, according to David Lincoln, a neurobiologist from Johns Hopkins, he said that the part of your brain that processes touch information has a map of your body surface, but its map is very highly distorted. He goes on to say that we have touch sensors that triggers electrical signals to various parts of our brain. For instance, one part of our brain is wired to our tongue, another part to our lips, another part for our face, another part for our nose, another for our eyes, our thumb, our fingers, our foot, our toe, our neck, our head, our hand. All across the circumference of our brain, it has electrical wired to all these things that involve touch. And think of it, our skin makes up about 4% of our body weight, about 6 pounds, and it stretches over 2 square yards. And yet it contains more than 4 million sensory receptors. our skin imprisons us. He goes on to say, but it also gives us individual shape, protects us from invaders, cools us down or heats us up as need be, produces vitamin D, holds in our body fluids. Most amazing, perhaps, is that it can mend itself when necessary and is constantly renewing itself, but most of all, harbors the sense of touch. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are His works. Now, there's something about being touched, especially when it is Jesus that has touched you. Hey, remember the hymn, He Touched Me? Remember that hymn? Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus, what? Touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me. It made me whole. You know, that hymn takes us over to Matthew chapter 8, the first three verses, where the Bible tells us about a man Jesus touched and made whole. If you want to follow along there, by the way, we're going to use a lot of scriptures. I'm going to go very quick tonight to try to cover a 50-minute study in 30, all right? So just buckle up and get ready to go. Matthew 8, 1, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him, and behold, a leper came and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean. Now watch this. Then Jesus put out His hand, and He touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Hey, Jesus did that day the unthinkable. He actually touched a person with leprosy. And as you know, it was a horrible disease. It was so bad that when a leper would walk into a town, he would literally have to announce his presence so that people would back away from him, so not to touch him, get bumped into him. In fact, as a leper would walk into his town, he would have to cry out, leper, 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 to alert everyone in the area that a man with leprosy has just walked in to the town. Can you imagine from that moment being diagnosed? Basically, they would cease having a human touch. I mean, a person with leprosy, they would never experience the embrace of a spouse. They would never know what it was, again, to have a child come up and hug their neck or embrace them and tell them how much they love them. A leper would never experience a handshake or a fist bump from a friend, a touch from a parent. In fact, they lived a hands-off life. And then imagine the day Jesus showed up, and the Bible says He put out His hand and He touched him. Can you imagine that He touched him and immediately his leprosy was cleansed? Listen, Jesus, touched him. He did what no one else was willing to do, and the Bible says, and He made him whole. Hey, what about the day that Jesus touched the eyes of two blind men over in Matthew chapter 9, beginning verse 27? When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed Him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He had come into the house, the blind men came to Him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to Him, yes, Lord. And watch this. Then He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be so. And their eyes were open. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about Him in the whole country. Listen, they couldn't help but declare it. I mean, they had been blind, and because of the touch of Jesus, now they could see. Hey, or what about the man that was deaf and mute? And Jesus touched him over in Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 32. The Bible says there that they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, which is an Aramaic word, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were open, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Hey, listen, when you've been touched by Jesus, how can you not tell? I mean, can't you tell? See those guys walking away after having been touched by Jesus and saying, or maybe even singing under their breath, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. Can't you see that? Oh, what joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Listen, Jesus even touched the ear of the servant of the high priest in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that? Luke 22, beginning at verse 47. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude. And while he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus and kissed him. Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And what did he do? He touched his ear and healed him. I don't know about you. I wish I could have been there that night for him trying to explain to the high priest what happened to his ear. Hey, or what about that dying 12-year-old daughter of this man named Jairus, who was a leader in the synagogue, who had access to the best doctors, best medication, nothing worked. I mean, she was dying, the 12-year-old daughter, and he was desperate. And we read over in Luke 8, out of desperation, that he fell at the feet of Jesus one day and he begged him to come to his house to heal her. You remember that account? Yes? You remember he got interrupted by a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years, same number? And while he got distracted with the woman that had the issue of blood, Jairus' daughter died. Then somebody came from Jairus' house saying in verse 49 of Luke 8, your daughter is dead. Hey, don't trouble the teacher. And then beginning in verse 50, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid, only believe and she will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing she was dead. But he put them all outside, watch this, and he took her by the hand. He touched her and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, understatement, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Listen, the Bible tells us that Jesus touches ears, hands, tongues, eyes. He even touches hearts and lives. Amen? I'm telling you, there's nothing like the touch of Jesus upon a person's life. I couldn't help but think, back when I was a kid, we'd go to camp. And one of the camp songs, it was entitled, Somebody Touched Me. You may have sung that song when you were a kid. You know, we sang choruses back in the 70s. I just want to remind you, sometimes we think these choruses are something new. We were singing choruses back in the early 70s. For instance, the song, Somebody Touched Me. It's a simple song. It goes something like this. Glory, 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 somebody touched me. Glory, 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 somebody touched me. Glory, 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 somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord. Do you know this song? And then the first verse was, it was on a Monday, somebody touched me. And when we got to Monday, verse 1, all the kids that got saved on Monday would stand up. to testify they'd been saved. And then they would sing along with us. It was on a Monday, somebody touched me. It was on a Monday, somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord. Then the Monday people would sit down. Verse 2, it was on a Tuesday, somebody touched me. And all everybody in the building, the tabernacle, that had been saved on Tuesday, they stood up to testify they had been touched by Jesus. And there was a third verse. You want to know what it was? It was on a Wednesday. Somebody touched me. All the Tuesday people sat down. All the Wednesday people stood up. I couldn't wait till they got to Thursday. Because it was on a Thursday under an old tabernacle that somebody touched me, and his name was Jesus. It was the last night of children's camp. And I couldn't wait till Thursday, because when we got to the Thursday verse, I could stand up to testify that it was Thursday. And then we got all the way back to Sunday. That was the last verse. And it just went, glory, 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 somebody touched me. And glory, 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 somebody touched me. Glory, 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 somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord. Was it a Sunday for you? A Sunday. And on Sunday, Ray, what happened was everybody would stand just as a way of testifying that they had been touched by Jesus. And I want to ask you tonight, do you have a night, do you have a day on the calendar that you were touched by Jesus? Amen? Amen. Listen, as I read through the accounts of these lives who had been touched by Jesus, I began making what I call a life touch list. And by the way, you want to get on that list. I mean, you may not want to be on the dean's list or some other list, the black list, okay? But you want to get on the life touch list. This is the list of people who had been touched by Jesus. I mentioned some of them a few moments ago. But in the few moments we've got left, I'm going to give you 10 things to write down. 10 things. What happens after you've been touched by Jesus? It's real simple, okay? If you want to just number 10, every one of them start with the letter C to make it real simple, okay? So they're all going to start with C of what happens when you're touched by Jesus. Okay, you ready? Number one, his touch changes you. It changes you. That is, the life that's been touched by Jesus will never be the same. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Listen, he touched a leper and he was changed. He touched a blind man and he was changed. He touched a deaf and mute man. He was changed. He touched a 12-year-old dead girl. She was changed. John 5:24, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. It's like the hymn we sang a moment ago, since Jesus came into my life. So number one, his touch changes you. Number two, his touch cleanses you. Cleanses you. Ask the leper. Hey, ask the woman caught in adultery and brought to Jesus when he said to her in John 8:11, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. Hey, ask the blind man whose eyes were touched by Jesus after being instructed to go down to the pool of Siloam and wash in John 9:7, and he came back seeing. Hey, listen, greater than coming back seeing, he came back cleansed. I remind you of 1 John 1:9, where John says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, have you been touched by Jesus? See, number one, his touch changes us. His touch cleanses us. Number three, his touch calms you. It calms you. If you go back to Matthew 17, the first 9 verses, it records the event of the transfiguration when Moses and Elijah showed up. When a voice came from heaven saying in verse 5, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and they were greatly afraid. But Jesus came, and watch this, and he touched them and said, "Arise, don't be afraid." When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, "Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead." I want you to know it was his touch that calmed their fears. And the same for us. Listen, his touch calms our fears. It removes the fear of the unknown. His touch removes the fear of the known. His touch removes the fear of death. Hey, it removes the fear of life. In fact, I was reading recently that in a 1981 television interview with Charles Manson, you know who Charlie was, right? He said that he wasn't afraid of being put or given the death penalty, but rather he was scared of living. Listen to the words of Charles Manson. I quote, "Sometimes I feel I'm scared to live." He said, living is what scares me. Dying is easy. Getting up every day and going through this again and again is hard." Hey, the touch of Jesus calms you. It gives you peace. Amen? Number four, his touch compels you. It compels you. I mean, several times we read that after a life touch, Jesus instructed these people not to tell anybody, right? And what did they do? Man, they went out telling everybody. Why? Because they had been touched by Jesus and they were compelled to speak and to testify what Christ had done. Luke 14:23, Jesus said, "The master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled.'" You remember the woman at the well? Do you remember after she experienced a life touch from Jesus, what she did? She went back to the town, and what did she do? And instantly, the Bible says she told all the men. They knew her. And she told everybody what Jesus had done. Why? She was compelled in her heart because of having been touched and changed by Jesus. When Peter met Jesus and discovered him to be the Messiah, what did Peter do? The first thing he did was he went to find who? His brother Andrew. He wanted Andrew, his brother, to know, "Hey, we have found the Messiah." And why did Peter do that? Because he was compelled in his heart because of what he had experienced. He said, "We have found the Messiah." Hey, put it down somewhere. The touch of Jesus will compel us to tell others what he's done in our life. It's like the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah said, "His word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back. I could not." That's what Jeremiah said. And so it is with all who have been touched by Jesus. Number five, his touch conforms you. It conforms you. Romans 8:29. Paul says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son." Somebody says, "Do you believe in predestination?" Absolutely. We've been predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. Romans 12:2, Paul says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." See, his touch begins the process of conforming us into the image of his son. Hey, good news. We're all a work in progress. You haven't arrived. I have not arrived. We're still in this process that began when we were touched by Jesus. This process of transforming us into the image of his son. Well, I'm going to run through the next ones quick, okay? So get ready. I don't have time to really develop them. You write them down, you develop them, and I'll let you preach next Wednesday. No, I'm just kidding, that last part. Okay, number six, his touch connects you. It connects you. That is, we're all now connected together as believers. The Bible uses that Greek word koinonia. Most every Gentile knows that Greek word, Koinonia. It's where we get the word fellowship. Somebody has described and defined fellowship as two fellas on the same ship. That's okay. Fellowship. It's a tough crowd on Wednesday night. Fellowship. So listen, after we have been touched by Jesus, we are now connected with one another, right? The answer is yes. I'll help you out. The answer is yes. Listen, that's why we need each other. And if you're here tonight, by the way, and you've been visiting and you've not joined, I've got an announcement to make. This coming Sunday is Join the Church Sunday for you. It's going to be a great day. You ought to join the church. You know why? And get connected, because we need each other as followers of Christ. His touch connects us. All right? Number seven, His touch convenes. It convenes us. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The reason that we convene, we gather, is because we have been touched by Jesus. Amen? Listen, had I not been touched by Jesus, I wouldn't be here Sunday. I'd be out hunting. I'd be out fishing. I'd be out doing something. But because my life has been touched by Him, I'm connected, and therefore I'm compelled to convene together with other believers to join together corporately in worshiping, praying, giving, hearing God's word taught and preached, responding to it, and walking out more like Jesus. Amen? That's what His touch does. All right, number eight, His touch controls you. It controls you. Ephesians 5:18, but be not drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Folks, when we're touched with Jesus, we're filled and indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And from that moment on, His desire is to control us and fill us and guide us day by day. His touch controls you. His touch clothes you. It clothes you. Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. 1 Peter 5:5, and be clothed with humility. I'm telling you, His touch clothes us. We wear different garments having been touched by Jesus. Amen? All right, that's number nine. Number 10, His touch cheers you. It cheers you, Romans 5:11. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. Hey, you go back, check the lives in the Bible that were touched by Jesus. The leper went away rejoicing. The blind man went away rejoicing. Jairus went away rejoicing. The woman at the well went away rejoicing. The deaf and the mute went away rejoicing. Everybody that's touched by Jesus walks away in joy. Amen? I give you a great passage of Philippians 4:4, where Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. You know that verse. And then he says, again, I say, rejoice. Why? Because you've been touched by Jesus. That's why. Joy. By the way, the shortest verse in the Bible. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, Jesus wept. It's not the shortest verse. I'm going to help give you some Bible trivia before we get out of here. It is not the shortest verse. I'm going to give you the shortest verse in the Bible. You ought to write it down. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Here's the verse. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Two words, okay? Now you say, no, wait a minute. Jesus wept is two words as well. In the English, it's true. In the Greek New Testament, in the Greek text, that passage over in John 11, Jesus wept. Here's the Greek. The Greek literally says this, weeping thee, Jesus. Three words. First Thessalonians, the Greek says, rejoice always. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, and we ought to be hearing more about it because we've been touched by Him. Hey, listen, and it all starts with a touch that changes us, that cleanses us, that calms us, that compels us, that conforms us, that connects us, that convenes us, that controls us, that clothes us, and cheers us because we have been touched by Him. Amen? All right, I want to give you three takeaways, three Bible principles that I can give you, taken from these 10 items, 10 descriptions of what happens when you have been touched by Jesus. Number one, He touches us so that we can touch others. He touches us so that we can touch others. Listen, we touch others like Jesus touched others, often by helping meet people's need. You know, we did that a week ago Sunday all across the city. Listen, we were touching people all over our city. And just like in Jesus, every time He touched somebody, it was His way of saying, God loves you. Every time He touched somebody, God loves you. And everything we were doing the other Sunday, all across the city, doing all kinds of things, we were touching this community, letting them know that God loves them. Hey, number one, He touches us so that we can touch others. Number two, He touches us so that we can tell others. So that we can tell others. Listen, the touch of Jesus ought to always include a message of hope. Listen, He would meet a physical need, and then He would meet a spiritual need, right? We're talking about Jesus. He would meet a physical need, and then He would meet a spiritual need. First, He would show God's love, and then He would tell God's love. And that's one reason God has touched us, so that we can show and so that we can tell. To tell them what God has done in our life. So He touches us so that we can touch others. He touches us so that we can tell others. But finally, He touches us so that we can train others. It's called making disciples, training them in the things of God. So here's the wrap up. Touch them. We've got to show them that God cares about them, and so do we. We've got to tell them. We've got to share with them the good news of Jesus. And we've got to train them. We've got to strengthen them in their relationship and their walk with God. We've got to touch them. We've got to tell them. We've got to train them. Amen? All right, let me pray with you. Father, it's a joy to be together tonight. We thank You for Your word, and we thank You for this study of our senses, perhaps a topic we've never considered. But we think about touch, how important it is, and the impact and the difference it's made in our life with You touching us. And God, now help us in turn touch those around them, tell them the good news, what's made a difference in our life, and then to help train them to become all they can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.